Welcome to Secret Skin, part of the Infinite Guest Network, distributed by American Public Media. The meaty part of this episode was recorded in a landlocked houseboat somewhere in the hills of Echo Park in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for the end of the year, I would try to do this one more time. Podcasting doesn't have no words. This podcast is called Secret Skin, like bus driver's secret skin. Not his real skin, but the name of one of his songs. This podcast is called Secret Skin. This podcast is also called The Secret Radio Hour. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to try to think of it, they might be giant songs to go right here, but I'm drawing a blank. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. My name is Michael Eagle. Welcome to Secret Skin. This is a very special bonus episode, meaning you can usually expect this podcast to be delivered into your iTunes, Stitcher. I don't really know what people listen to podcasts on, but assuming you're listening right now, however you've come across this file, this episode, a new episode will be available every other Monday, pretty much forever. So this is a bonus episode. It's part of the Infinite Guest year-end extravaganza. All of the shows are doing special content this week that is reflecting and talking about and pondering and analyzing the year that the Gregorian calendar has dubbed 2014. Is that Gregorian? Who's Gregory? He was a pope. He was a pope that decided to do a bunch of stuff. And for some reason, nobody changed anything that he ever did. That makes me want to be a pope. Anyway, Infinite Guest year-end extravaganza on Twitter is hashtag IGYEE, which makes me always want to go Iggy whenever I see it. In my mind, I do that. But it's good. This is a great network, and it's celebrating a lot of the hard work that's gone into this year and creating this platform for all of these shows. Two of the shows that I'm particularly excited about all the time, and they're all great, but I haven't heard them all, to be honest. This is Secret Skin. This is my closet, and this is the place where I choose to tell no lies. But I really like Home Dunk, which is my good friend John Moe. It's a sports show, which usually means that he's just making me feel really bad about the Bears. But it's a great show. I always like his writing. He's also the host of Wits and a great Twitterer, and I just like how his mind works. So it's fun to hear him talk about sports with that wit of his. And another show that I like a lot is Awesome Etiquette with Lizzie Post and Daniel Post, and he has another last name that I didn't write down because I'm silly. But they, on their show Awesome Etiquette, they answer questions from people, and they basically just kind of tell people how to talk to other people in ways that are actually effective. People write in problems that they have, and usually these problems just come down to having to communicate difficult things in ways that are mutually beneficial from the deliverer and the receiver. And it's really interesting. It's just they're basically teaching people how to communicate difficult things in a strange way. Basically teaching people how to talk to people the right way. And there's like a lot of people in my life that I would like to casually suggest that they listen to Awesome Etiquette. It like makes me wish I could walk past their internet desk and accidentally drop a link or something near their internet cubicle that they could run across this program and perhaps learn how to speak to folk. That would be good. Well, on this episode, like I said, this is a bonus episode, and usually I record a lot of these interviews a lot in advance. A lot of time has usually passed between when I've recorded one of these and when you hear it, just because of the nature of my schedule, being a rapper, traveling rapper. Speaking of traveling rapper, we're doing the very first Secret Skin Live in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're doing that on January 30th. We have the rapper Carnage from Minneapolis. We have Abby Wolf, the singer from Minneapolis. We have Psalm One, rapper from Chicago. And a few more guests. It'll be really, really, really cool. And I'm excited to be able to bring this format to life. Have some really cool performances and talk to some really talented people about what they do. And if you're a listener and you can't get there, trust a lot of that content from that live show is going to end up in this listenable format via whichever way you've come across this one. Just remember how you got this one. Never forget how you got this one, because it's how you're going to get an additional one later on. This episode, I just recorded with Milo. He was the guest that I've had on this year, and he's very accessible. We have a very good chemistry. And the episode that I had him on a few weeks ago was very highly regarded, it seemed. And so when it came to discussing the year and kind of wanting someone to bounce things off of, me and Milo, I thought would be a good fit in terms of our rapport. And so I attempt to talk to Milo about the year, but mostly we just end up laughing and fanning out to each other and fanning out to all of our rap friends. And it's a great listen. And we did it in his studio space, which is a landlocked houseboat. Landlocked houseboat. Landlocked houseboat in Echo Park. It's a Secret Skin. There's a secret radio hour, and this is it.
Catch it.
Singing my son's song he made up, and I'm kind of out of breath because I was showing my guest how my son skips. He has the best skip ever. I'm sorry, this is audio, and I can't show it to you. You have to use theater of the mind and imagine the best skip ever, and it is his. I am Michael Eagle, and I'm here with my good friend Rory.
What up?
AKA rapper Milo. We're gonna talk about this year. We're gonna talk about 2014.
Yeah, man.
So you started this year in Chicago.
I started this year in Chicago.
Yeah.
I had the weirdest New Year's.
What happened New Year's?
I'd moved to Chicago after I dropped out. Back to Chicago after I dropped out. And on New Year's, I was taking the Brown Line to my girlfriend's job. She worked at a bar for the New Year's Eve kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And five niggas on the train tried to jump me on New Year's in Chicago.
They tried to rob you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was wild.
Huh.
It was very wild.
And then what happened?
So, I mean, you know Chicago. So yeah. I'm on the Brown Line. I'm on the train. And it's totally empty. And you know, on New Year's, it's free.
Right.
So there's no, like, accountability, really.
Right.
Like, anyone can just run up on it and do anything, and there's like,
it's like the purge.
Right.
I see.
And so people kind of stay off the train because of that on New Year's. But I'm broke, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was on it, and while the train's moving, like, I'm kind of stoned out of my gourd, just sitting alone in a car, and these five dudes just walk into it as the train's moving. And they just completely stand around me.
Oh,
like,
no.
Blocking me in my seat. And I mean, again, I'm stunned out of my mind thinking I'm just going to go kiss my girlfriend on New Year's. So I'm like, hi, guys. What's going on? You know?
Oh, boy.
And they're like, hey, nigga. Like, you know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
Like, really putting it down. And luckily for me, man, it got to the stop, like, right as they surrounded me. And I just pushed myself between them and ran off the train.
Wow.
Yeah, just straight up. Bolted before I could get my ass whooped.
Does it feel like a year ago?
It feels like 5 years ago and yesterday.
Right, because you're in completely different circumstances now.
Completely different circumstances now.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming live from the tiny monastery.
We are. We are in a tiny monastery right now. There are tiny lights. Tiny intentional lights.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very dark and wooden in here.
Dude, tiny intentional lights is a really cool thing to say. Tiny
It's also a really cool thing to see. It's also
tiny intentional lights.
So we're in your studio space.
I mean, we're in a garage then. Yeah.
It is also that.
We're in the clubhouse, man.
I don't know. Like, I want to hear more. I want to hear about your year. I want to know, like, what is 2014? Like, you have any associations?
Yeah, with 2014? I associate 2014 with, like, transition, man.
Personal transition?
I just feel like there's been no stability in my life this year, which has been a sign of progress, but it's also extremely exhausting to have things constantly changing, you know? Constantly, just like... yeah, man. I feel like I haven't been able to get a firm footing before, you know, something new.
Do you want a firm footing now?
Now I'm just really good at the marathon.
I see.
You know what I mean? Now it's kind of like, let's get it.
So what's the end of the marathon? What are you running toward?
There is an end.
I don't think so.
I think that I transitioned into a type of being.
Yeah.
And that's something that's really been fucking with me, man. I was thinking about that today, actually, like, on our first tour.
Yeah.
Like, the kid that I was on our first tour, I was thinking about, like, the types of talks that we would have and, like, the ideas that I had and how it's taken me X number of years and a lot of senses to feel like I now even understand half the shit I was talking back then.
And what was it, like, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't remember very many of those conversations. Oh, do man. You, did any of them stick out in your head?
Yeah, dude, about, like, wanting to remove the brag,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, yo, dog, what if you could do an album without a single brag?
Right.
You know what I mean? Shit like that, like just all sorts of dumb rap ideas, man.
I don't think that's a dumb rap idea at all. I think that idea, in part, has been the engine of my creativity over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Is trying to figure out that new default. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, of course, the brag is necessary.
Right.
But it's... The fact that it's, like, the automatic thing that people go to has always... Dude. Like, well, like the moment that occurred to me, like, that started to really bother me. You know what I mean?
What's been fucking me up about your new music and the like, sheer might of it is you've been, you know, embedding the brag, but you'll do some fly shit where you'll like state a brag and the cost.
Yeah.
And that shit to me is so fly.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, thank you. But yeah. like since I started really making music as a solo artist, like 2009.
Yeah.
That idea of everything costing something has been very real to me. Like, every... Even if there isn't any evidence of sacrifices, there's been a price for everything that I have given you. Even if there isn't any evidence of sacrifices, there's been a price. I'm reminded of these words. When the world is fast asleep, transactions I've observed. For my place of land can't speak. Equations been disturbed. Cause the system has a leak. Which gases will we burn to replace the passing heat? Quick fixes will emerge. Little band-aids fast and cheap. None of us can fight the urge. Cause the prices can't be beat. And we'll all ignore the dirt. And we'll dance so fancifully. Take a number with your turn. None of us will dance for free. Understanding. I had to trade my wife to have a new trip. I had to trade my making music itself cost me like yoga. You know what I mean? Like, like the time I used to spend meditating and doing yoga.
Right.
I started writing and I started recording. Like those hours. You know what I mean?
Dang.
And so like that the cost benefit analysis thing. And you know what else got me there? Did you ever, and I feel like I know you have because you're an anime guy, but Full Metal Alchemist?
Hell yeah.
And you know how, how they used to always have to like sacrifice an equal
everything
amount?
Had a cost.
Exactly.
Yeah, dude.
That was so real. That's in my life. Like in every phase, I see that. Like everything costs something. There's a
you know, Ron and Fez, Ron right. Bennington, what he says is that, especially like when it comes down to having good times, uh-huh. it's like there's always a receipt.
Yeah, that shit is fly, man. I love yeah. that. I like that in our music.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
You know, who knows why any of us do anything. Mm. But this year, for me, has been notable. And it's weird because it's hard to even think of years because time just smashes together yeah. in such a violent way.
Well, I mean, to me, it's just uninterrupted. And when someone's like, how's your year been? It's like, why are you asking me to carve something?
Right.
Like, exactly. Now I have to draw a line exactly. in a place and measure. And
exactly.
When, and shit was all one continuum before you said
so
that.
Fluid. Exactly.
I thought a cell phone was ringing, but oh. it was an airplane. Oh. First world problems. Just stood up awkwardly in the middle of this.
That was good. I knew you heard something. That's why I was quiet, because I need to hear this thing as well. But 2014 is notable to me because it's like in August of 2014, it made 10 years of me living in L.A.
Good googly moogly, my man.
And it's crazy, like, to think, you know what I mean? Like, and wow. how I got here, you know, I basically, I don't know if I ever told you this story, but I was in a grad program mm-hmm. at Southern Illinois University. That was like a stupid grad program that you didn't have to take any tests to get into. Like, I just like, I want to go to grad school. I don't want to take no tests. Right. Like, you got to do this thing. Okay. Like,
I don't want to take no tests.
It's called workforce education. Uh-huh. It basically trains people to do HR. It's Dang. Really stupid.
Wow. Like,
and I did the first year of it, and I did pretty well. Like, I'd learned at that point, like, how to do college.
Right.
Like, basically, what I learned is if I go to class every day.
Right.
And just do all the homework.
Yep. You're done.
I'm going to get a B at least.
At least.
At least.
At least.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah, dog.
So, grad school, you know, at least that part of it, getting good grades was easy. But what happened was, I mean, grad school classes, no matter what the subject is, are fucking intense.
Right. Like,
they're for adults.
Yeah.
Trying to do shit quickly yeah. and learn a lot.
And cramming it.
Exactly. So, yeah. 3-hour classes yeah. every evening.
Damn, dog.
About some shit that I wasn't right. interested in.
Right.
Like, it was killing me.
God.
Killing me dead. Like,
damn.
So, the summer after my first year of that program, I went and filled out an application for summer financial aid.
Okay.
I got the refund check.
It ghosted on.
I bought a car and I left town.
My nigga.
Now, let me tell you why that was dumb. Because.
Yeah, well, you. wasn't for that.
Right. Exactly.
Wasn't escape pod money.
Exactly. Exactly. So, what I was thinking was, oh, they'll just roll this into the rest of the money I already owe that I don't know if I'm ever going to pay anyway, right? But no, because apparently when you take out a loan for a semester that you do not actually attend,
yeah.
they want that money back immediately.
So, right now, please.
So yeah, that little 6, 7, 8 grand, whatever it was,
wow,
was a serious knock on me that I couldn't escape from until I repaid it.
Wow.
You know, for quite
wow,
some time.
Dude.
But yeah, and I drove out here and I didn't know nobody.
Yeah.
I had this job at the time where it was like in kind of Silver Lake area.
Yeah.
And I used to get off work every day and drive to Leimert Park and just sit different places in Leimert Park. I didn't know
dude.
A soul.
Oh
like,
my God.
Like, I would, you know.
Michael!
There was. there was this place down there called mm-hmm. the Museum in Black.
Yeah.
And it was basically just like this dude's collection of like statues and
yeah.
shit. And I hung around there so much, I used to go in there with him and watch Jeopardy.
Wow. Like, that's amazing, man.
Like, and I used to just sit there and like, I just learned so much, man. Like, that was a really tough time for me, like yeah. psychologically.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And learning how differently people in LA are in terms of familiarity.
Yeah.
Because the gangbanging thing was so real out here,
mm-hmm.
especially like in that area.
Yeah.
Like, people don't like they're cold for a long time. They don't give you no energy. Yeah. They don't look you in the eye. They don't speak. None of that. Like you can buy, I could go to the same little shop every day and buy something, and this dude would not look me in the eye. You know what I mean?
I know, that was
a really tough lesson for me to learn. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that's, I came out here fresh faced.
Damn, dude.
Babe. And
I feel similarly, but then I feel differently because I've got my boy Al.
Yeah, you came with somebody.
Yeah.
Came with a tag team partner.
Yeah, dude, and it's been ill because definitely there have been moments of just like, what the fuck did I do?
Right.
It's been tight to have someone who's like, nah, dog, we did it. We wanted it. We did this for a reason.
Yeah. How did y'all get out here?
We drove.
How many of y'all?
Okay, so originally Alex and I planned to move to L.A., and then our friend, Nedarb Nagram, he wanted to move to L.A. too. And then he brought our other homie, Khan Solo. Mm-hmm. All of us make music. We had two cars. After the first day, Braden's car, Nedarb Nagram's car, died.
Yeah.
So four dudes and all of their worldly belongings got smashed into a Toyota Camry.
Wow.
And we drove the rest of the way.
Yowza.
And I don't know, man. L.A. kind of turned my friends inside out.
It does that to people.
Like, Al is my best friend for all time, but
Al's like, got his head on straight.
Yeah, but already one of the homies had to go back, and the other shit, that, you know. It's just, L.A. is real.
When I came out here, the car I bought was like a 97 Altima. And I put all of my belongings in the car, and it was just me.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, about 3 hours into my drive, I have to rewind a little bit.
Wow.
Because I was, 23 at the time? Yeah. I just learned how to drive, like, maybe a year and a half before that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, living in Chicago, you know, taking the train everywhere, I just never really had to do that. So I learned how to drive, like, when I was 21. 3 hours leaving Carbondale, Illinois, I encountered the biggest, nastiest rainstorm I've ever encountered in my short life behind the wheel of a car.
Right.
And I had this moment of like, I don't even know if I can do this. Like, do not know.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't see out of any of the windows. Like, I was, you know, like, I knew how to do the windshield wiper.
Right.
I didn't know the defrost.
Oh,
I didn't know what that was.
Like, it's foggy.
I was like, how do people do this?
Control panel.
I know.
For none of the symbols really make sense if you haven't been in a car like that.
But it wasn't even that. It was like, I didn't even realize that was the thing that I had to do.
Yeah.
Like, it took me hours in the storm before I'm like, wait a minute. There's something you do in this situation so that you can see.
Some preparations.
Out of the window. And then, and then I hit that button and,
damn.
You know, But it was a trip, dude. I had a CD player. And I, you know, it was just a CD player that came in the car. So I was excited that it was going to be a new, fully functioning one.
Right.
But turns out,
didn't work.
When the car got to a certain temperature, you could no longer remove the CD.
What the fuck?
It was something about the part swelling or something.
A high temperature?
Well, just like the regular working temperature of an automobile. Like when it was cold, it was fine. Okay. We'll come in there.
So you had to make the choice before the motherfucker warmed
up. Exactly.
Yeah.
So basically, I had two albums
that
I cycled back and forth between the entire trip.
What were they?
The Spine by They Might Be Giants.
Tight.
And Mad Villain.
Dope.
2004 albums.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And so whenever I hear, not whenever I hear, but I have a strong association with both of those just from being on this super long car trip by myself, kind of scared, not really knowing what I'm doing.
That was like right around the time that I first found out about your music.
Mm.
Because I would have been in like 7th grade or some shit when Mad Villain came out.
Yeah, I think the first message I got from you was 2005.
Oh my God, yeah.
I think so.
Dang,
It was tight. Early 2005. I was at my lady's apartment on campus because she was working in Irvine down there at that point, and I was checking my MySpace.
That's dope.
And I got a message from you.
That's dope, dude.
Yeah, you're sitting all up high in your profile picture.
Weird, like a blue shirt on or something. Yeah, weird kid. It was you. It was this other rapper that I really liked who doesn't even rap anymore, and it fucks me up to think about rap history and how many of like our illest dudes nobody will ever know of.
Yeah, no, it bothers me a lot.
This dude Kenneth Masters from Philadelphia.
Now I've seen that name, but I'm not familiar with the work at all.
K-Mass. He was so ill. But I can't find any of his shit online anymore.
I trip out on, I used to fall asleep taping WHBK back in the day. Yeah. So, and those tapes were really like all I had for hip hop. Like, you know, I'd buy albums or whatever, but like these tapes were like my window to the world. So there's just so many artists. I don't even know their names, but their songs, it's like live in my heart. Damn. And there's no way to find them. You know what I mean? Because they were just like a 12 inch that randomly came out somewhere.
In sixth grade, I lived in Manchester, New Hampshire. And there used to be on the public access, there was this dude named Seth Window. And he had his own little Ill Rapped show on the public access.
That's tight.
And all he would play was like underground shit from all over the country, their videos on public access TV.
That's tight.
It was so fly. Like, he would play like Mad Villainy and shit, but then he would play like K-Mass, and like he would play like really unheard of dudes. And that for me was like that. Like, I would be like, yo, Seth Window show, let me take that. Yeah, dude. Oh my God.
I always want to do something like that now. I feel like I encounter so much good music. Yeah. And I want to broadcast it. Like, originally I wanted to put, this is the second iteration of my podcast life. I had this thing called The Helicopter at first, and a big part of The Helicopter was just putting songs from the homies in.
The Helicopter, what was
that? That was probably 2010, 2011. Like, I did like four or five of them, and I was just like, I can't do this. It's interesting, man. This is hard work.
I like how that's a theme.
Oh yeah,
that's a theme.
The Helicopter, yeah. I don't know if you remember, I had temporarily changed my zodiac sign to Helicopter.
No,
like that, like that's how hard I was going.
That was so tight
on the helicopter tip. It was that because somehow I think it was astronomers or someone who said that all of a sudden there was this new zodiac sign.
Yeah,
it started with an O. I could never remember how to pronounce it, but it pissed me off because my birthday fell into that sign. So what they were either saying was that, like, I had never been the Scorpio I thought I was, or now all of a sudden
all
I had to be
sudden you
something
became
else.
A new man.
So I'm like, oh, all this is completely pointless, and I'm just gonna, my zodiac sign is now Helicopter.
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah,
that's tight as fuck. Helicopter.
Yeah,
it's been interesting, man. I had this idea when I was on tour with Reagan that someone could write a paper about how Imaginary Places is like the song that contains all the themes of the genre we participate in.
Wow.
Like, perfect hair, death, like, everything is in that song, dude.
Wow.
All the themes are in Imaginary. How did you do? I don't know. I'm okay. Every person I know is a secret story agent. Cause I'm accused of lewd conduct. Stole the heart to rape her prom side. And I got a woman for my arrest and put me in a loony bin, a funny farm. Cause I'm dead, but I'm just trying to hold your hand when you die. There was not a single person who could do it better. No need to skip it in my ecosystem. But in the audience, me being even Christian, HMO, how I hate himself. But it charged me for a halo. But I'm a scavenger hunt for a bear for the chunk of the sky. Remember, I was painted with a mud pie. I played dead songs on the silkscreen. By my shirt, it is a chill dream. It is not to lead away to the stairwell. To a god's administrator for my son to find a farewell. I'm just trying to hold your hand when you die. And again, you're a song rifle. Places that like when like Paranoid, Every Person I Know Was a Secret Service Agent, like just everything in that song is like the themes that people rap about right now.
Wow.
And like this nigga predicted all of it. It's just wild, man.
So much lives in that song, man. It's crazy.
Dude, She Doesn't Love Me Because I Don't Have the Right Haircut. And his last album's Perfect Hair. I just like finding the themes in people's stuff that they might not even think about.
I remember one time that A$AP Rock told me after we were, like, I was on tour with him and maybe like the third or fourth show, and he's like, Mike, I'm like, what? He's like, you say the word spoon a lot.
Oh my God.
I got so embarrassed. Wow. I was like, wow, he's right. Out of my 7-song set, the word spoon is in like 4 of the songs.
Buddy, but if you're hungry, get a spoon. Start with a teaspoon or a tiny knife. A hamburger with a soup spoon, you can choose.
That's definitely like something that he would notice.
Yeah, exactly.
Say. I've only been around him a couple times, but both times I'm like mad aware of that. like, how many times have I said this?
Yeah, no, that type of awareness drives me crazy.
I mean, that's like now, especially the last time I kicked it with him, like, yeah, dude, that's that rapper shit. Just I'm looking at your vocab, dog.
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking at your vocab, homie. I'm beyond the bars and shit. I'm just, how many words do you know?
Jesus. Huh. So tell me something else about this year and you
oh man, this year I thought was gonna, I mean, you know how years are, but I just thought 2014, man. I thought we would be having this in an actual houseboat, I guess, by now.
Like an actual?
I mean, you know.
On the water?
I just thought it was gonna be a big year for the Argyle Sox Brigade. And it has been. I shouldn't say it hasn't been, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's always the potential for more, but it is.
I just mean in the sense of, like, I don't know. I wish that there were. I wish that there were more translation between a person who makes, you know, songs and music and whatever, and what else we could have done. I wish we'd done like a play or something. I wish we'd done, you know, something else.
Yeah, and I remember when we were on tour, we kept saying how, like, because we kept generating ideas.
That to me, oh my God, dude. Hellfire as idea generator. Yeah, dude. We're definitely a think tank that needs to be hired for something.
Exactly.
Point us at a thing, let us think about it, and we'll deliver you some data sheets.
Right.
Yeah.
But it, we were saying even then that, like, we had to raise our execution rate. Mm-hmm. Hell, and we didn't really do that.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you got it exactly. I thought this year I would raise the execution rate in my own life, and I didn't. Bummed a little.
Well, what should we do? I mean, I think we're in the houseboat right now.
Oh, no doubt.
It's like a pretty strong executor.
I think we're ramping up even more.
You've put out 3 projects this year, right?
Have I? No, just 2.
You don't count Redwall?
Yeah, Redwall and toothpaste.
And Scallops?
Scallops was last year.
Oh, okay. I'm
Scallops
sorry.
Was November of 2014.
Okay.
Or 2013, rather.
Okay. Okay.
Although I think I'm going to put out Acide on here. I'm going to put out Scallops in January.
Tight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
You
want to be on it?
Of course.
Cool.
You seem to be executing your life in the way that you want it to.
Our music is interesting and good, but there's so many ideas in our music about life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in those and kind of how we can extract some of that and do some stuff that.
Echolalia, Listomania. I played my ukulele on the way to LaGrange, bruh, at Marina Gardens. Pardon, I'm barfing into my shirt sleeves with my dirt knees. Something is hurting me. The pain is in my ribcage. Abstain from getting shit-faced. Abstain from judging the people who don't abstain from getting shit-faced. Tame your nervous twitch. Train to be a conversationalist. Stand up with a straight back. Remove from your lexicon the saying I hate that. Arm your pals with their own torches. Keep a vigilant watch over your soul fortress. Eat cold suppers off frisbees and don't complain. When the snow falls, dream of beaches and not propane. In lieu of paying rent, buy a painting. Approach a dead bird the way you would your dad hanging in Trafalgar Square. I made you something pretty with my words today. I heard you gasp because you lacked the words to say. Something you were feeling in the worst of ways. I made you something pretty with my words today. Gain muscle mass by bench pressing hedonists. Write the good raps at the apex of your
feet. Reagan said one time, he said, we pledge allegiance to the best idea in the room.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, we do. And we should just execute some outside of music.
What should we do? Let's decide right now. Let's do it.
Dang. Wow, what should we execute?
I really liked when we were talking about adding some theater element to our show.
Oh, man.
I see that in my head. Like, the cubicle thing, man, we talked about, I see that. Like,
yeah, yeah, you know, bruh, that'd be amazing.
I think that really would be amazing.
Oh, my God, dude. It's interesting to me to watch. I mean, I haven't even been participating in it very long. But as our rap scene grows, it's just interesting watching, yeah, everybody's sets kind of change and become different things and new things. And I don't know. I just remember when my own set was more geared towards 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting to watch that development happen. And that now, yeah, we're talking about like theatrical elements.
Right.
It's tight.
Well, how would you say your set's changed?
Oh, my set has become... I think my set used to be... I don't know. When I first started rapping, I tried to be the illest opener of all time.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Tried to be the illest opener of all time. And then I jettisoned that, and then I tried to, like, do this anti-rap show type of thing, like a quiet rap show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I jettisoned that. And now I'm at a place where the show is loud. It's mm-hmm. a lot of yelling. It's a lot of, like, scaring the audience.
I do some of that, too. It's a lot of
terror.
When I was in Europe, I just came back from Europe, when I was over there with Pro, mm-hmm. it was kind of weird because me and Pro used to tour constantly.
Right.
And then I went for a year pretty much just doing my show on my own and developing it a different way. And that was the main thing I had to show him because we didn't get a chance to practice. So that right. first show we did in London, we're open and sold out for Shabazz Palace. I'm like, look.
Listen.
Like, follow my lead. You know what I mean? And so much stuff had changed. So much stuff had changed. And the main thing was that I had to show him about the way that I had gotten accustomed to doing things was that the energy of the show was way more, it now is way more of like a very intentional roller coaster. Right. A very intentional, like, I'm going to do something weird at the beginning. I'm going to make everyone uncomfortable
right.
at first. You know what
right.
I mean? To draw all of this in, then I'm going to do a couple things that are really just for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it starts, then it starts.
It's gonna bang.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then in the middle of it, banging. Yeah. I bring it all back to just a vocal performance.
Dang.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I get back on the horse, yeah. you know, yeah, like,
that's what's up.
And then it gets really big and we start jumping around near the end.
Yeah.
And then the last song is like this landing gear,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's what's up.
And just like, and it's funny because so much of that had just happened in my own mind.
Right.
But having a performance partner again, I was like, no, like,
I have to
learn how to say these things and draw these things out so we're on the same page. Like,
dude, the Redwall project that we just did, Alex and I were talking about this yesterday, how difficult it is to suddenly make art with someone else.
Oh my God.
It doesn't, art is demonstrable, right? Like, yeah. you do it.
Yep.
But to do it with someone else, you have to communicate it.
I don't like to.
You have to. It has to be communicable. But I agree with you because I think that the good art has something that the creator can't communicate.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, it's very difficult.
I have a really hard time. Like, even when we make Hellfire stuff, like,
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
I learned this first when I was dealing with Thirsty Fish,
mm-hmm.
the old group I used to be a part of, that, the idea that would first come to me every time we put a beat on was an idea that was really just for me.
Right.
Like, because once I said it and it went out of my mouth into the room, I saw how clearly, like, no, like, that is about what I want to destroy, not about what anybody else wants to do, you know? And so I would run away from these sessions and go really start working on my own aesthetic because it started to become clear to me what my aim was coming out of that, you know?
So, I feel like I'm still shitty at that. I'm still mad clumsy. Like, all the songs I start for the Hellfire tape, you can tell. Like, you know, it's like, this nigga just wrote a song. Like, that one with verbs and shit, I don't know. I'm not good at thinking about songs like that. Like, being able to divide them. Being able to, like, come at it in a new head.
I guess I have slowly developed at least two. Like, I have the one that's just for me,
mm-hmm.
And then I have the one, and I kind of came about this like doing like feature verses. Like,
yeah,
the part of me that I still enjoy, but I'm very willing to give away, you know, and not have it be, you know, because, and I try to tell people this too. Like, you know, a lot of times I charge for features,
right?
I have to charge way more for a hook.
Yeah,
because that's a way different investment.
Yeah,
In terms of me being able to just give you something for you to work with, yep. and all of a sudden it's like, no, you want me to make a song?
Right,
that's different.
Right,
you know what I mean?
I do feel that.
Yeah,
I do feel that. Wow. Yeah, shit, man.
What was the last tour like?
The last tour for me was amazing. Is best one I've been on.
What made it?
I mean, right, so this was not the first tour I'd ever done where consistently I had the bed to sleep in, but it was definitely the first tour I've ever done where I expected to have a bed to sleep in, and it was there.
Yeah.
So that in itself, which sounds like such a dumb thing, but like...
No, I get it.
Touring music, expecting to have a bed and having it every night and having that be a thing.
Right.
Felt like a motherfucking benchmark, dog. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it felt like... I just always felt great. It's like I'm sleeping in a bed.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, dude. Like, I that alone would made that tour amazing. Right. But the turnouts are great, and clipping are fucking awesome.
They're incredible.
All of them, like Bill, Jonathan, David.
I love those three.
Yeah,
man.
Those motherfuckers are great.
I love them.
Yeah,
like,
no, like it's kind of wild, especially because of like. I don't know, man. Sometimes I'm just nervous with new white friends.
I hear you.
Real talk. Especially new, smart, white guy friends.
Honestly, with them, I was nervous having a new rapper friend, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because the sense that I might have gotten out of their music was that David would be a different person than
no
he
doubt.
Actually is.
No doubt. Same.
And for him to be as talented as he is and to be so cool.
So humble.
So, like, he does not have the ego that I expected.
Genuinely has no ego like that.
And I, like, that's really amazing to me. Yeah. Like, that's really incredible. Yeah, and dude. So, like, yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like you say, I was in Europe and I did some of my shows out there with them. I ended up, you know, doing a show with them on my birthday in St. Gallen, Switzerland.
What's up?
And it's so cool because they had a long-ass drive the next day.
Yeah.
But they were really sitting there drinking with me, man.
That's what's up.
Like we were really having a time.
That's what's up. You know? Yo, like, I don't know, man. The conversations I had with those dudes were excellent. I really admired them a lot. There was this part on tour in Baton Rouge after the show. We were driving... just trying to get like an hour drive out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we got pulled over again.
Yikes.
And they drove by and like Reagan's out of the car, you know? We're just like, dude, we're in fucking the deep south and it's like 1 a.m. and this cop pulled us over. So I guess I should start writing my goodbye texts.
Wow.
You know? And they drive by and David texts me. He's like, was that y'all who just got pulled over? And then I get another text. He's like, we need to come back. We need to police the police.
Oh,
and I was like, my dick. Like, yo, man, that's what I knew. I was like, all right, I'll fuck with these guys. That's what's up.
Oh, that's so yeah, tight.
It was super tight. And there were a couple of times on that tour. Again, my show has become about catharsis and about channeling frustration.
Mine too.
And definitely people at my show who used to heckle and say shit, and I used to not challenge that. They now get challenged.
What do hecklers say to you?
Man, there have been times, I mean, gear nerds who got shit to say about how I'm using my shit or whatever. People who think I rap badly or whatever.
Really? Yeah. And they come to your show and say these things out loud?
I mean, maybe they're not there for me, you know, and they hear how I do things and they don't like it. And there was just a few shows where, you know, I had moments and I don't know, man. Clipping are about solidarity, and I'm about solidarity.
Word.
And I really fuck with that so much.
And I fuck with them. Like, man, it's so... It would have been so easy for them to come into indie rap the way that they did, get on how they got on, and just be like, fuck the rest
right,
of y'all.
Right.
Like,
no, for real.
But they reached out. You know what I mean? Like, they're really good.
In every crevice you ain't searched in your mind is a prime candidate to murk if you would let it. So better run, trick.
Run, trick.
Cause the game ain't a game no more. It's a fucking gun trick.
Gun
click,
trick.
Click, hear that in a dream when a team that mean on a tongue. Quick.
Tongue
tick,
quick.
Tick, it's a bomb in the basement. Basically stay in the sun, bitch.
Bitch.
Cause the vitamin D is a necessary bitter. Bite in the mind, a reminder of times you done bit up more than you could chew. Should've known this was about monsters. They wait in a closet for you. And you wait in the dark for enlightenment. Frozen in a war. Warrior two, how's your chakra, bro? When he cocked the phone, when peel back his skull like Platinos, pop, pop, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes,
and it goes, and it goes,
and again, pop, pop, get low, get low, get low.
They love rap,
and they're good people, man.
Yeah,
they're really good, talented people. You ever see any Jonathan's old stuff?
Captain Ahab.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh my God, I just got put onto that when I was in Austria.
It's just like, amazing.
It's incredible.
Yo, Jonathan has the coldest stories. Like he'll be like, man, I was in this bus in Bulgaria one time. Backpack full of diamonds. Don't know how I got there. Like, what? I was supposed to be teaching a theater troupe in the mountains. He's cool. And SB the Moore.
Yeah,
man. Good rap friends have been made this year.
That's man. I can say that pretty wholeheartedly, man. Oh, like, the strength of the network in 2014 is pretty incredible.
This year for me, especially just like the kind of people that I always wanted in my life.
Right.
Like Lucid.
Right.
That's a dude that I really admire.
Dang.
And like, he's like a homie now, and it's like, dang, you know, just shit like that where it's like, yo, dudes that I really like feel like I could learn a lot from.
To me, this, you know, and I know I haven't used this word a lot in a long time, but that other ground thing,
hell yeah,
it's dude. So are real to me,
that's
dude.
That's still on my Facebook, man.
It's tight.
It's genre, other ground. That's all it says.
Because I feel like we're at that place, man, where the union is so strong. You know, Arm & Hammer and NASA in New York and, you know, Samurai Banana and all that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Those cats and just everywhere, dude. Like, it's really live right now, mm-hmm. man, mm-hmm. around the country, you know?
It's inspiring, man, because I feel like the moment that I had when your debut album came out and I listened to it and I felt like a certain call to arms.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that moment is happening.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there are people with things to say, and they're coming.
Yeah.
You know?
SB and Samus and Megaran.
Oh, my God.
Haslow and, like, man, it's really picking up everywhere. And, you know, if we can combine and make these statements properly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and because really there's a lot of strength if we all get together and create our own context and get it out of the hands of these...
Oh my God.
These folks with the pens and pencils.
I'm about that context creating.
You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
And I mean, that's what this show is about. You know what I mean? Giving us a chance to tell our own stories.
Thank you.
Absolutely, man.
On again.
Of course. Of course. Okay. This is the third time now. I'm still going to release that first noisy one.
Oh, the first.
At some point.
The OG noisy.
Yeah.
The OG exhaustion tapes.
You're the first quiet interview. This is the first one that's been in a controlled environment with microphones.
Really?
This is the first one.
You want to do them here?
No, I think I'm just going to just use this, like this, what we've done now, putting the microphones into the machinery here.
Yeah,
I'm just going to do that places.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I'm going to just buy a couple of
buy
shorts.
Some mics and stick them in.
Yeah, I got these little cute holders. I'm going to show them to you. I got them
holders?
In the bag here.
For the mics?
Yeah. These little miniature microphone stands.
Yeah.
Isn't that precious?
Dude, I want one of those. We were just saying how we need it because, like, we just sit and make beats all day.
Right.
And I prefer rapping sitting.
Do you really?
I prefer sitting.
That's interesting. I would have disagreed. This is my own experience. But then when I was in Austria, we had a few days off and I recorded a demo. And I really liked it.
Bruh.
And then we went to the studio and I re-recorded the song Standing Up. And I was like, I don't like this the same.
Bruh. Once you get into, like, there's just a type of writing.
Yeah.
A type of song that sitting is just like, ooh. I never stood up. You know, like, I like recording sitting. And those mic stands are cold.
I'm going to try that again.
Definitely, though, like, standing is real. Standing is real.
I'm so used to it,
no,
man.
No, it's definitely certain.
I'm so used to it.
A lot of rap needs to be done standing.
Because I feel like, I guess I just have to get a real stationary chair because I'd get to bopping and making all the noise.
Yeah,
in
me
the world.
Too. I just keep that shit in there. All the creakles and shit.
Tight.
Yeah, I'm just working in the songs somehow.
Well, what's next? What's next, Milo Roy?
Okay.
Roy Milo.
So I've been, you know, cycles. And this year for me has been, like, sometimes, man, I'll be like, I'm going to take a year off. I'll be like, I'm done. I'm going to go back to school, and, like, I don't even have to do rap. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I really have that discussion with myself. Like, I'll be like, damn, I got $2 to my name out here trying to write a 16. I'm like, I don't have to rap. Why am I bugging out? And then I'll have other times where I'll be like, I'm going to drop an album every 2 weeks next year and just show people I can.
Right.
So I don't know, man.
I like how both of those end in laughter.
They do.
That's
they
tight.
Do. I want to drop a Scalps tape in January. I want to drop another full-length Milo project before spring. I want to make music now along my eating cycle.
Jesus.
I'm not interested in making music anymore according to an industry or a label.
Oh,
I just want to, like, when I need money, when I need food, I'm going to drop some shit.
Word.
You know? And it's going to be good because I don't know. I want it to have that cycle of just like, damn, dog, getting low, about to drop some new shit, you know? Just like, whoop. And I want to kind of see what happens with that.
That's tight, man.
I want to focus on making beats. I want to, honestly, dude, I would love to just spend time making stuff for you and Reagan and Kale and just fucking, yeah. I just want to make stuff.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm going to enjoy being a part of that here at the houseboat.
I think that we were kind of touching on this last time we talked, man. I just think that making a lot is now a requirement of the artist in the 21st century.
Absolutely.
And it's not even that difficult.
It's not. It's the easiest thing to do.
It's really being nervous about how, again, the industry will receive it is why I don't do it more often.
I do live inside that nervousness.
Right. Being like, damn, people will hate me if I drop all this stuff I've been making. But I think that we kind of, let me put it this way, all the niggas I like make a lot of music like that. And so I know you won't be offended, or Reagan won't be offended, and, or hopefully, you know, let's just quick it up, see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's a model I toy with sometimes. Like, I have fantasies of just releasing music on Bandcamp. I get nervous because I see talented people releasing things all the time that sink straight into the water because no one else is invested in helping them to have any longevity into them, you know? Like, so that scares me just because, like, I just, like, I feel like I want that long-term reward
from a project. I feel like all conceptions of long-term and how the artist interacts with their audience, I don't know, I feel like any ideas of that we had before are inapplicable. Dude, it's so direct.
That's fine. I think there's, what I have to do is make that part of my cycle.
Uh-huh.
But I also see the benefit in having different people involved and invested in pushing pushing a project and making it like go sky high before it falls. I guess, you know what I mean?
I feel you. And I just, that system gives me diabetes, you know, it gives me all the bad diseases. And I just want to do this like farmer's market approach.
I hear you.
You know, I just want to come to the table with my wares when I have them. And I want to not think in terms of falling. You know, I just want to be like, I gotta eat. This is what I do. I make songs.
I hear you. I hear you. That's funny. We'll have to compare notes in a few months.
No doubt. It's idealistic, man.
No. Like I said, I think there's something real to it. I think that, like, I think people in a lot of different other genres do it way, you know, like, it's way different. And and I also think it's the kind of thing where, like, you as an artist, you're a few projects deep into your journey now, so it's, you can definitely stand to do that a little easier than somebody just starting out.
No doubt, man.
You know,
that too. I mean, do you feel a lot of that? A pressure from that? Of like, I got folks who are rocking with me now.
I don't feel pressure from that necessarily. Just in terms of the discussion we're having, you know, releasing something direct versus releasing it with a label, is that I like having every like ounce of juice squeezed out of my album.
Wow.
Like, I want everything to be looked at and brought back into people's consciousness. Like, I want that level of attention on the projects that I spend the most time on. Like, I want that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've seen that benefit me.
Dude, I just don't even believe in that anymore, I guess. I don't, like, that's amazing. Yeah, that sounds so tight. But it's like, where they do that? Where they do that at?
See, okay, that's another conversation we have to have.
Word up.
Yeah.
I don't know though. I mean, right now, I don't know, man. I just feel a type of way about working class rap making.
Right.
And just, I know, this new time, this new ability of like, if you must turn your songs into a commodity, do you have to go about selling them in the same way?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, I think there's, first of all, there's money that I don't get, mm-hmm. which is important. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, for what we do, the compensation comes in weird ways and weird times. So I definitely feel it on that tip. You know what I mean? Like, I have noticed, like, when I put out EPs in between albums sometimes, and I'll say, you know, hey, this is free or pay what you want. People, like, kind of overpay a lot because they want that chance to be able to show you how much they individually support you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's amazing. You know, I definitely want to put myself in a position to take more of an advantage of that, too, you know.
That's tight, man. How many albums do you think you're going to make in your life? You don't even have 14.
Yeah.
Wow, man. 14.
14.
Collabs and all that. Or just solo joints.
I mean, if we counting collabs, I'm already at like 7. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
14.
Yeah, I think I can
Reagan got 8.
Yeah.
That's insane, dude.
I mean, Getty got like 30.
What? Getty got like 30, yeah. Getty got
Mocha only got like 50.
Getty got like 20. Getty got like 20 great ones, though.
Really? Getty
got 20.
Getty's been making amazing albums for 15 years now.
That Dirty Flamingo shit really has been affecting me.
It's good.
It's really good. It's exactly how I feel. Like, I bumped that and walked down the street on that little walk we just went on to go get batteries.
Yeah.
I'll play that shit like, what a day. You better hold on, cause this is exciting. I never felt so highly go lightly. Like, yo, just I don't know. I love it. I love Getty. He makes great music.
Yeah, he does. He's a great guy. I miss that guy. It was a good touring with that dude. Yeah, that was big this year too. Just get, cause that was like a dream of mine. Like, me and him going to college together, and never having done a show. It was really awesome to tour with him this year.
Damn.
Really cool. You know.
Yeah.
Looking at that flyer, like, oh, that's tight.
Yeah, that flyer was insane, out, man.
That was tight. But yeah, man, you know, I think we've discussed 2014. I don't know. We didn't really talk. Fuck 2014, though. I mean, like, it's not.
2014 was like the. I mean, it was a year, certainly.
It was. It was a number.
Certainly, it was.
It certainly was.
But. What else could be said? I don't know.
And we said a bunch else. Yeah. So I feel like mission accomplished.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think
so.
I hope
it makes sense.
Yeah, and if it don't, so what?
I'm always amazed, man, I do something like this. Like, people liked the last one.
Yeah, people liked it a lot.
People were like, hey, I could listen to you guys talk.
And
I liked it.
We're testing that hypothesis right now.
I was
just
blown away, man, because every time I do this, I'm always like, man, I had a good talk with Mike. Don't know what anybody else is going to think about it.
You know? Yeah, no, I do these with complete abandon.
That's tight.
Like, I listen back and I edit them, mm-hmm. but after I've done edit, I'll never listen again. Oh, you know, like, it's just out, like, you know what I mean? It's like
out in the world. After I do the edit, I'll never listen again. For real. Couldn't make me listen to my own podcast.
You know what I'm saying? Well, it's just that thing is like, I don't want to worry about.
Yeah, no, that's real.
You know what I mean? Like, I have enough to worry about. Like, this is fun. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Let me take out all the little dumb pauses and shit where I didn't know what to say, and then just send it out in the world. Like, that's the best I could do, you know?
Fly, man. I like podcasts. I like the idea of them, but I'm not good at it.
Nobody is, except the people who make Serial and Mark Maron.
Man, you're really good at it.
Nah, I'm actually pretty bad right now. I'm getting good, though.
We were watching the doc footage. And, like, the parts where I had to fucking Skype in, you were the illest talk show host, man. Like, where, like, I would, like, you couldn't hear anything I'd be saying. You're like, always underwater again. You had the ill little, like, one-liners and shit. It was like, this nigga is a talk show host.
I used to host things, man. I used to do that.
Always underwater again.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. I hated that night, too. God, I hated that show.
Really?
I hated that whole day.
Damn, I'm sorry.
That was the day we turned around at the border like some assholes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That was so horrible.
Cincinnati was weird.
Yeah, it must have been.
It was bizarre, man. I still have, like, all these films of jellyfish on my phone from the aquarium where I was just alone, just filming. For some reason, when I'm alone and I feel lonely, I'll just start filming.
That's interesting.
And it gives me the feeling of being with the people.
Wow.
I go from being a participant to a spectator, and I just am totally not lonely anymore. It's so weird. Sorry to drop that at the end of the podcast.
No, that's tight, though. That's tight. I'm going to be chewing on that shit for a week, yo. But say goodbye to the people, Roy.
Thank you, and goodbye.
All right, peace, y'all. Secret Skin.
And I have been chewing on it for a week. No, it hasn't been a week. It's been 3 days. And I'm lying about even chewing on it. But it did, just hearing it right then, make me remember something that I wanted to tell him that day. It was about how I had read somewhere that post 9/11, some research institution had said that in that first 6 months to a year, that more people had taken pictures and made videos of just people around them and their surroundings more than any other time in history. Maybe because everybody felt all of a sudden, especially in America, everyone just felt very mortal. And so maybe there's some connection to what he was saying about feeling lonely and taking pictures. I should have just called him and told him that right now, but instead I told you, audience members. We need some name for you people. You all who are brave enough to make it to the end here. We should come up with a name for you guys. Are you guys like Secret Skinners? Are you, that's funny. That sounds like you're hunters that hide it, like closet hunters, Secret Skinners. Scandinavians. I like that one. I really like that one. Anyway, you should write in with some ideas of your own. And write in general. Just always send me emails to OME Booking. I would love to answer some questions like the people on Awesome Etiquette do. Except that I am not trained in etiquette. And I can only show you how to overthink things. I'm really good at that. I can definitely spread the gospel of overthought. Check out Secret Skin Live, like I said, is coming up in St. Paul, January 30th, the very first Secret Skin Live. Hope to see some of you Scandinavians there. See, working it in, calling it back already. And for our special unreleased song at the end of this bonus episode of Secret Skin, I'm going to play you this song that I wrote about the very first time that I played in Minneapolis. Something very interesting happened, and I wrote a song about it. And here it is. Thank you for listening to Secret Skin, and I will see you in 2015.
You can close your eyes, skies will still be blue. I like how you survive, but one day life will kill you too. It's what she said to me and told me I can keep the change. The whole thing's kind of strange, but it comes with what we do.
Did a fall run with the homies on one. I was geeky, got to do a mini app show. We played the entry, the party get a century. Except the Chromio was in the big room next door. It was pretty dope, cause it's a rap city though. And you can see some stills in the pissy trance video. My first tour without a DJ, I rocked a little awkward. Lucky for me, my phone didn't falter. Had my mic height set for a guy a bit shorter. Rap between Kizzy T and Big Quarters. Some big timers played the back in dim corners. I took it pretty well despite my social disorders. Them first few moments on stage can be a bitch to work through. I tend to head straight to the merch booth. I'm doing small talk and getting CDs off. A lady comes up and sings in a sweet soft voice.
You can close your eyes, skies will still be blue. I like how you survive, but one day life will kill you too. Is what she said to me and told me I can keep the change. The whole thing sounded strange, but it comes with what we do.
I didn't know how to deal with it either. She looked like a young Kim Deal from The Breeders. Instead of explaining, she got more intense with it. Looked me in the eye like that would help me make sense of it. She had come for the party in the other room, but heard the beats and it put her in another mood. She was a B-girl in her former life, and she used to bump tapes full of Cool Keith and Rubber Room. You never would've known from her outfit, party dress and heels on some real downtown shit. She emphasized it was faith that she found this and wanted one of everything because we all sound sick. And then she leaned at a really weird angle and passed out and banged her head silly on the merch table.
your eyes, skies will still be blue. I like how you survive, but one day life will kill you too. Is what she said to me and told me I can keep the change. The whole thing sounded strange, but it comes with what we do.